Today in Washington, D.C., it is currently 66 degrees and partly cloudy. In New York City, 61 under fair skies. From WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. Your host, Gary Knoll.
The lights are on, but you're not home.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about how curcumin can boost your brain DHA level. UCLA study. That's important. We have a lot to talk about helping keep healthy, especially at the time of COVID. In fact, from the Hospital de Mar Research Institute and the Pompeu Fabra University, zinc can help predict COVID severity. The more zinc you have, the less severe. The less zinc you have, the more severe. Also today, we're going to look at the gut microbiome, that's the good bacteria in your intestines, and how it influences the metabolism of processed foods, University of Alabama. New research points to a significant role of the bacteria to shape metabolism, including where fat is deposited on the body and metabolic hormones. Sounds a little complicated? I'll put it into lay language. Also from Queen Mary University in the United Kingdom, convincing evidence that type 2 diabetes is associated with an increased risk of Parkinson's disease. Also from Yonsei University College of Medicine, South Korea, there's a lot of studies concluding a protective effect of the omega-3 fatty acids, that's the fish oils, against cardiovascular death. So you're going to learn how to keep from dying sooner by one single item you put into your diet. That's good. And a study finds increased risk of death among breast cancer patients who drink sugar-sweetened soda, University of Buffalo. Interesting, when I was talking about this back in the 1970s and wrote the first article along with award-winning investigative journalist Robert Houston, and Bob and I spent over 1,000 hours researching the politics of cancer, how corrupt the whole industry was, top to bottom. And we had an insider feed a lot of information to me. I'll tell you that story a little later. But the takeaway message was, when you look at what people were being fed in these cancer hospitals, and look at the vending machines, you had a lot of sugar sweetened soda. Rather ironic, University of Buffalo, you drink these sugar sweetened drinks and you have breast cancer, you die sooner. Wow, what irony. Also today, commentaries, some really powerful commentaries. Chris Hedges, Glenn Greenwald, Tom Whitehead, we have some video clips. One video clip I think you're going to really find interesting because I'm going to play it as a counterbalance to Biden's, I don't know what you call it. I was watching, I couldn't figure it out. Man, this man's lost somewhere. Whoa. And we're lucky, anyone with a brain and looking at this thinking this man should be getting help, neurological help, because it's clear that he's suffering from some form of dementia. But everyone kind of pretends it's not there. And then he gets out and rambles around, talks about COVID, but only vaccines, vaccines, nothing but vaccines. Whoa. Well, we're going to push back on that today. Some of the world's leading medical doctors and scientists have something to say about vaccines. We'll share that with you. And we want to thank one of our fact checkers out there. She is a consummate fact checker. She's looking for the truth in all data because she sends us about 5 or 6 a day. And so we want to thank Valentina Farsi. We're going to play one clip of hers where the White House press secretary makes a statement. Now, mind you, when she makes a statement and is emphatic about it, then you have to assume that this has been fact-checked and is accurate. Well, she was fact-checked, and she is inaccurate, completely inaccurate, concerning COVID and the vaccines. In fact, nothing you're hearing about the vaccines is honest, so we'll bring you up to date on some reality checks on vaccines. Tell you the truth about them. All that on today's show. But of course, we start with the latest on health and healing because we all want to live a longer and healthier life. And we start with something simple. It's an herb. It's a simple herb. It's the most common herb in curries, turmeric. Now, the active ingredient in turmeric is curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N. Here's the latest from UCLA, published in Biochemistry and Biophysiology. They found that when you increase the amount of curcumin, you increase the production of DHA by influencing a precursor of ALA and DPA, after previous research showed that curcumin prevents reduced DHA content in the brain following brain trauma, and that curcumin plus DHA had added beneficial effects in behavior and the brain DHA content, and you need that. So, simply stated, if you want to have more DHA, and mind you, curcumin and DHA reduce brain content of DHA precursor, which is N3-DPA, and so you get a healthier brain when you take curcumin. How about that? Simple as can be. Now, another simple thing is zinc. Zinc is a very important mineral. It does dozens of things in the body, including helping our immune system and is antiviral. Well, a recent study examined the levels of zinc in people hospitalized with COVID-19 and both disease progression and outcome. Now, listen carefully because this is what they found, that the participants with low zinc had a 21% death rate compared to normal zinc, which is only 5%. That's a 400% difference. That's tremendous. Now, mind you, that's with normal zinc. Now, if they were taking 50 milligrams of elemental zinc, that would probably be down to 1%. So, one more reason, take your zinc. All right? Next, the time to clinical recovery was approximately 300% less time, meaning when people did not have enough zinc, it took them 300% longer to get back to normal health. So the authors conclude the serum zinc levels could help predict the outcome of individuals with COVID-19. Remember this simple, inexpensive, non-toxic trace element? It's naturally present in some foods, but better still just in a biological supplement, it's a vitamin supplement. Hundreds of enzymes require zinc to function properly. It also plays a role in protein synthesis, DNA synthesis, cell division, wound healing, immune function. It's anti-inflammatory, antiviral. It's a superstar. It can reduce the deficiencies in the innate and adaptive immune responses. In people with viral infection, cold, flu, the innate immune system is the body's first line response to prevent the virus from penetrating and replicating before the adaptive immune system develops targeted protection. So shouldn't every doctor's office, shouldn't every hospital in America have a simple, quick analysis when you go in? What's your zinc level? And that could help people. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrients. So if you want a healthier outcome, then take zinc. And why do you think that they're suggesting both with ivermectin and with hydroxychloroquine zinc? Because it's the zinc that does the killing, not the two other drugs. And then if there's a bacterial infection, then any of the major antibiotics could come in. University of Alabama has a study about as long as you're flooding the gut with healthy, good bacteria, then it becomes what is called a microbiome, B-I-O-M-E. That means the amount of this flora in your gut. Good bacteria, good food, like miso and sauerkraut, pickles, kimchi, the more tempeh, tofu, the more good bacteria you have. All right? Apple cider vinegar, good bacteria. And that protects you against viruses. All right? That's what's important. And so take your good bacteria on a daily basis. Also from Queen Mary University, research showed that there's a lot of evidence that type 2 diabetes is associated with an increased risk of Parkinson's disease. It also increased your risk of heart attack, depression, and cancer. And we have a virtual epidemic. We don't have an epidemic of COVID. We have an epidemic of a lot of other diseases, heart disease, cancer, diabetes. Yes. And far more deadly. And it's something we can deal with. So starting next week, I'm going to do an in-depth discussion, probably the whole entire program, on how to prevent or reverse diabetes naturally. I've never had a person that I've counseled wasn't able to correct, take them off, all medications. In fact, we had a clip. And I'm going to ask Jesse, if you can find the clip of Michelle Alexander, who went public, she was part of our anti-aging study. Wonderful human being, by the way. She's going to, I believe, yeah, she's on staff this time too. She made one of the most phenomenal turnarounds in her health of any person I've ever worked with. In 1 week, we dropped 100 points off her blood sugar with no medicines. In the second week, even more. And it's normal. Well, so all it takes is one person to do it, but we have thousands. So just remember, let's work on diabetes because that's a major cofactor for morbidity and mortality results in COVID. The more you're diabetic, the more chance you have of dying. If you're overweight, that's the number one. So shouldn't we have a national program on dying or not dying and getting on the proper diets? And I just found in our archives, I did a series of 7 audio talking books for Warner Brothers years ago. And Sharon in our office, our archivist, is listening to them to see if they're still timely. And we'll be putting those up too to help people lose weight, keep it off. Also from Yonsei University College of Medicine, South Korea, an article published in the European Review of Medical and Pharmacological Sciences, they looked at a number of studies, what is called a meta, meaning many, studies, and they published the results and showed that when you take your omega-3 fatty acids, you protect yourself from death from cardiovascular causes. 29 articles, 31 meta-analysis of randomized clinical trials, 4 meta-analysis of observational cohorts, and they all show the same things. Arrhythmias, or sudden death, myocardial infarction, stroke, transient ischemic attacks, postoperative atrial fibrillation, recurrent atrial fibrillation, all of those help with omega-3 fatty acids. I believe about 3,000 milligrams, 1,500 in the morning, 1,500 in the afternoon, and finally, if you are a person, if man or woman, men get breast cancer also, not as frequently, but they get it. But if you're drinking soft drinks, you just upped the ante of dying from any cause, and breast cancer in particular. All right? They are deadly, these sugar-coated soft drinks. Now go to a hospital and see how many you find. All right? Of the machines selling it. This was published in Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention, Journal of the American Association of Cancer Research. So you're getting the best of the best information. I'm Gary Nall. We are 15 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go directly into a group of board-certified doctors and scientists who are studying COVID carefully and giving you their opinion. And please send this to Tucker Carlson, because, once again, it's a polite shout-out to Tucker that you have on your doctor who is pro-vaccine and brags about getting the vaccine. But I'm surprised, because if he were an objective, a really objective and fair-minded physician, then he would look at the evidence that asks the question, has this been proven safe or effective? Unequivocally, absolutely, scientifically, 100%, it is not. None of these three vaccines. It will take at least 1 to 2 years for that data to be collected. But then has he gone further and looked at the adverse side effects around the world? We have. And we're seeing some very disturbing situations here. And in fact, I'm going to read, and we have posted for Tucker to read and his staff and give to his doctor so that they can be more objective. Because I'm giving the benefit of a doubt if he's given absolute quality science from peer-reviewed literature, from absolute qualified doctors who have, unlike Anthony Fauci, who have no flesh in this game, then maybe they'll change their mind. Let me give you an example. This is an urgent open letter from doctors and scientists to the European Medicine Agency regarding COVID-19 vaccine safety concerns. And here is what it says. So, Tucker, please reevaluate your position and your doctor's position, because I believe that you're both giving out misinformation, not intentionally and not with malice. And therefore, I'm hoping that you will use this information to change directive. And you're the only person on Fox Network that I believe would even consider changing their mind on anything. This is to Immer Cook, Executive Director, European Medicines Agency, Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Dear sir, madams, for the urgent personal attention of Mr. Cook, as physicians and scientists, we are supportive in principle of the use of new medical interventions which are appropriately developed and deployed, having obtained informed consent from the patient. This stance encompasses vaccines in the same way as therapeutics, meaning drugs. We note that a wide range of side effects is being reported following vaccination of previously healthy younger individuals with the gene-based COVID-19 vaccines. Moreover, there have been numerous media reports from around the world of care homes, that would be a nursing home, being struck by COVID-19 within days of vaccination of residents. And by the way, I'm going to make a few asides here. These are nursing homes that had no COVID positive until the vaccines. While we recognize that these occurrences might every one of them have been unfortunate coincidences, we are concerned that there has been and there continues to be inadequate scrutiny of the possible causes of illness or death under these circumstances, and especially so in the absence of post-mortem examinations, meaning they're not doing autopsies. They're guessing. In particular, we question whether the cardinal issues regarding the safety of the vaccines were adequately addressed prior to their approval by the European Medicines Agency. As a matter of great urgency, we herewith request that the Emergency Medical Association provide us with responses to the following. Now, please, everyone in this audience, this is what no publication, no radio station, no television station in the United States has addressed. You're hearing it exclusively here now. And pay attention, everyone, because this is not political, ideological, economic. This is pure, honest science. And this is what no one, especially the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN, are telling you. They're not telling you the truth. They're misleading you. Listen to what these people have to say and see if your doctor or your pharmacist or your nurse or anyone else giving these injections would know what I'm about to tell you. And these are from some of the brightest scientists and physicians in the world. One, following intramuscular injection, it must be expected that the gene-based vaccine will reach the bloodstream and disseminate throughout the body. We request evidence that this possibility was excluded in preclinical animal models with all three vaccines prior to their approval for use in humans by the EMA. Two, if such evidence is not available, it must be expected that the vaccines will remain entrapped in the circulation and be taken up by the endothelial cells. There is reason to assume that this will happen, particularly at sites of slow blood flow, i.e. small vessels and capillaries. We request evidence that this probability was excluded in preclinical animal models with all three vaccines prior to their approval for use in humans by the EMA. Three, if such evidence is not available, it must be expected that during expression that the vaccine's nucleic acids, peptides derived from the spike protein, will be presented via the MHC1, a pathway at the luminal surface of the cells. Many healthy individuals have CD8 lymphocytes that recognize such peptides, which may be due to prior COVID infection, but also to cross-reactions with other types of COVID viruses. We must assume that these lymphocytes will mount an attack on their respective cells. We request evidence that this probability was excluded in preclinical animal models with all three vaccines prior to their approval for use in humans by the EMA. Four, if such evidence is not available, it must be expected that endothelial damage was subsequently triggering blood coagulation via platelet activation that ensues at countless sites throughout the body. We request evidence that this probability was excluded in preclinical animal models with all three vaccines prior to their approval for use in humans by the EMA. Five, if such evidence is not available, it must be expected this will lead to a drop in platelet counts, appearance of D-dimers in the blood, and to myriad ischemic lesions throughout the body, including the brain, spinal cord, and heart. Bleeding disorders might occur in the wake of this novel type of DIC syndrome, including, amongst other possibilities, profuse bleeding and hemorrhagic stroke. We request evidence that all these possibilities were excluded in preclinical animal models with all three vaccines prior to their approval for use in humans by EMA. Six, the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein binds to the ACE2 receptor on platelets, which results in their activation. Thrombocytopenia has been reported in severe cases of SARS-2 infection. Thrombocytopenia has been reported in vaccinated individuals. We request evidence that the potential danger of platelet activation that would also lead to disseminated intravascular coagulation was excluded with all three vaccines prior to their approval for use in humans by EMA. Seven, the sweeping across the globe of SARS-2 created a pandemic of illness associated with many deaths. However, by the time of consideration for approval of the vaccines, the health systems of both countries were no longer under imminent threat of being overwhelmed because a growing proportion of the world had already been infected and the worst of the pandemic had already abated. Consequently, we demand conclusive evidence that an actual emergency existed at the time of the EMA granting conditional marketing authorization to the manufacturers of all three vaccines to justify their approval for use in humans by the EMA, purportedly because of such an emergency. Should all such evidence not be available, we demand that approval for use of the gene-based vaccines be withdrawn until all the above issues have been properly addressed by the exercise of due diligence by the EMA. There are serious concerns, including but not confined to those outlined above, that the approval of the COVID-19 vaccines by the EMA was premature and reckless, and that the administration of vaccines constituted and still does constitute human experimentation, which was and still is in violation of the Nuremberg Code. In view of the urgency of the situation, we request that you reply to this email within 7 days and address all of our concerns substantially. Should you choose not to comply with this reasonable request, we will make this letter public. And this is from, to Charles Michel, President of the Council of Europe, and Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission. And it lists all of the physicians and scientists and their backgrounds and the peer-reviewed literature supporting their concerns. And you're talking about Professor Emeritus of Medical Microbiology and Immunology, former chair of the Institute of Medical Microbiology, Hygiene and at Johannes Gutenberg University, medical director and scientist. You're looking at visiting professor, University College London. You're looking at all these people. These are heavyweight people. These are some of the brightest, most credentialed, qualified people in the world, including Dr. Margareta Greitz, Bryson, MD, PhD, neurology, also at the Freiburg, in Freiburg, Germany, special training neurology at New York University, fellowship of neurophysiology, Mount Sinai Medical Center, also a PhD in pharmacology, with special interest in chronic low-level neurotoxicology, and medical director to London Neurology and Pain Clinic, Professor Martin Hadish, MD, PhD in microbiology, virology, epidemiology, and Professor Stefan Hockerts, Professor of Toxicology and Pharmacology, and just a whole list of these top world-class people. This is not conspiracy theory. So, Tucker, I hope that you've read all of my articles and watched the 4 award-winning documentaries I have done on the environment that will help change your position on being a climate denier. And I've sent you other material, but please take this seriously, and because this is a game changer for the whole world. The consequences are extensive. Now, let me give you a few additional examples of this to help you understand what's at stake. One of the things at stake is now the government is against everyone who wants to examine free speech, to use free speech in demonstrating their points of view, and that's being curtailed, as you yourself are now the target of a campaign to get you off Fox and shame you and arrest you. Whatever they can do to you, they'll try to do. It is a given that the government is corrupt, unaccountable, and has exceeded its authority. Everyone that I've spoken to, including all the legal scholars that I consult with, including Danny Sheehan, and if you're not familiar with Danny, you wouldn't have had the Pentagon Papers had it not been for the New York Times, trusting Danny Sheehan, who said, go with it. He also is one of the most formidable constitutional lawyers in America. But one of my favorites is John W. Whitehead. He is also one of the most courageous attorneys I know. And he also believes that the first remedy that we have is to challenge with our free speech. We have a right to protest, assembly, prayer, to share our articles and our commentaries. But the government doesn't want that, and special interest doesn't want it. Corporate America doesn't want it, and all of the major Google platforms and Facebook, Twitter, these do not want it. The First Amendment, which is the cornerstone of the Bill of Rights, affirms the right of we, the people, to pray freely about our grievances regarding the government. We can gather together peacefully to protest those grievances. We can publicize those grievances, and we can express our displeasure peacefully in word and deed. Unfortunately, tyrants don't like people who speak truth to power. The American police state, and that's all we have today, is an American police state. And we have the police state controlled by the corporate state, which is controlled by the oligarchical state, which is controlled by the deep state. The American police state has shown itself to be particularly intolerant of free speech activities that challenge its authority, stand up to its power, and force it to operate according to rules of the Constitution. These protest laws, some of which appear to encourage violence against peaceful protesters, by providing immunity to individuals who drive their car into protesters, impeding traffic, and use preemptive deadly force against protesters who might be involved in a riot or take intolerance for speech with which one might disagree, to a whole new level. What has happened to us? What has happened to our laws? They have been usurped, and that is unfortunate. But now they want to make anyone who challenges vaccines in total, and coronavirus in particular, to make that a criminal act. This is at a time when more countries are adapting vaccine passports to boost tourism, so you can only get into a country if you can prove you've been vaccinated. That forces people to vaccinate whether they wanted to or not. And they have not looked back at the CRISPR gene and the editing using that gene that can cause heritable changes in gene regulations, meaning once you start messing with the genes in the body, you cannot undo that damage. It can be permanent. Can they tell you right now if the spike proteins that have been created in with these genes, when they will shut off or ever, whether or not it will cause someone with an autoimmune condition to go to hyper-autoimmunity? So the very people who should not be getting this vaccine are the senior citizens with compromised immune systems, are the very ones they're targeting? Why haven't they been challenged? And think of the people. You've had some people on your program who've run out of businesses. You know, they can't operate. Well, I got a letter. Let me read it. This is from Larvita McFarcor. She's Minnesota. And she says this, "Dear Dr. Knoll, I know you're extremely busy, but would you please help me? I'm the owner of Haven's Garden in Lind, Minnesota. We talked briefly before. Would you please advise my lawyer? I will explain. I'm being sued by the MDH, and we're about to depose the MDH's epidemiologist. Would you please give me the questions that my lawyer should ask him and give me the name and the science that backs what you're saying? I know you don't have the time to deal with this, but this could make a huge difference for all Minnesotans and all of America. I could be reached at this number. This is the first case, I believe, in America that is allowing an epidemiologist to be deposed. Thank you." I called her back, and I listened to her case. Turns out she only has three employees, her own family, her daughters and herself. They're being fined $1,000 a day. They have a little tiny restaurant. They give away food. They don't charge. They're not charging for meals. And they were charged $10,000. That's Minnesota. That's disgusting. But it's not unusual. We've seen the same thing from the utterly incompetent and corrupt governments in New York under Cuomo, New Jersey, Virginia, and also Maine and California especially. Well, as of this morning, she has two people on her team providing her with a lot of legal advice. Robert Kennedy Jr. has talked to her, and he is a friend, and we're all in this together. And Dr. Coles, out in Minnesota, and a medical doctor. And so we came to her aid. But what if we didn't? How about the opportunity to challenge? Would I love to challenge an epidemiologist on justifying lockdown? All it takes is one major victory, and that can be used all over the country for 100,000 other places have gone out of business and didn't have the resources or the legal background to fight back. You have a large forum. You have around 5 to 6 million people watch your show each night. Why don't you bring her on? Why don't you allow this woman to tell her story? But that's not the end of it. Quote, CBS News, new outbreak of COVID-19 BC, our care home where 82% of residents were already vaccinated. So they're giving COVID, giving COVID vaccines to people who did not have COVID, and now they're ending up with COVID. Shouldn't that tell you something? How about this? And we want to thank Brian Chilhavy, who is the editor of Health Impact News. This is from the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, quote, 508 dead, 297,274 reported injuries following COVID-19 experimental vaccines reported just in the United Kingdom. What a tremendous amount of deaths and injury compared to a normal vaccine. This is cardiac disorders, 26 deaths there, congenital disorders. All these different side effects have happened. Eye disorders, 1,398. Blood disorders, 2,294. 10,554 gastrointestinal disorders, 12 people died. You have all these people dying who wouldn't have died. All these hundreds of thousands of people who are now injured. Almost a quarter million. That's just in one country. And yet your doctor, shamelessly, Dr. Siegel, and embarrassingly to those of us who know science, know the truth, promotes this. I could go on. Oh, by the way, CDC, half of the people hospitalized with COVID were obese. Then why not have a national program to advocate proper, healthy control? Oh, and by the way, Tucker, European countries suspend use of Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine after reports of blood clots. What was one of the things that the doctors writing to the European Council had to say? Blood clots, coagulation of the blood. And now seven countries have now, Norway, Iceland, Austria, Estonia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Italy, and Latvia have all suspended this until this is dealt with. So what if they didn't test for this? That is the height of irresponsibility. And lastly, and most importantly, I've saved for last, Tucker, I'm sending you over today the newest report. I've read it in detail. Quote, COVID-19 deaths, a look at U.S. data, February 2021, working paper, Dr. Geneva Braid. She's over at the Advanced Academic Programs, Johns Hopkins University. Now, she wrote a report about 2.5 to 3 months ago, and it was published, and they rescinded it. They withdrew it, saying it wasn't correct. Well, we called her. Do you stand by your figure? She said, yes, I was not inaccurate. So now she's doubled down, and she's come back with a brand new report. It's 50-some pages long, 59 pages long. I read it all. I read it twice. But the conclusions are most interesting. They're on page 53. So if you go to page 53, you'll see what she has to say, that there is no spike in overall deaths. If we had a pandemic, and if we were as victimized as we have been led to believe all over the world, we would see a huge spike in overall deaths by country and globally. There is none. And she did it year by year and all deaths. And she has some very, strong but academically accurate conclusions about we don't have this. We don't have that death rate spiking. And what happened to all the flu deaths? You can't have it both ways. You can't say that the masks and social distancing, washing your hand, ended the flu because people hit throughout history get the flu. And even if they're wearing masks, but they're less likely to get flu if they have a strong immune system. But if you say that you didn't get the flu because you wore the mask and washed your hands, why did you get COVID? Because you washed your hands and wore the mask? No, this is a sophomoric argument. You can't have it both ways. So don't give credit to not having the flu, zero flu in the United Kingdom. That's not humanly possible. That's not statistically possible. That's not scientifically possible. They shifted the flu deaths, pneumonia deaths over to COVID. Everything you could do to play us as if we're all idiots. Well, sir, we are not. And some of us are not political. We're not ideological. We are here looking for the truth. I've given it to you. My hope is that you will do the right thing, take the time, and see that you have another series of commentaries you could do. And this John Hopkins report, which we posted on Perron.fm, is the kicker on that. We're going to go directly. We're not going to take a break because of time. We're going to go directly to a group of some of the world's leading medical doctors and scientists giving their say-so on vaccines, safety, and efficacy, where every doctor interviewed in America and every journalist interviewed and every newspaper and everyone everywhere, including in the liberal media, are saying, get your vaccine. And I'm saying this precautionary principle. First, prove it does no harm. You have done nothing in the way of proving anything. Now we go to that clip.
My name is Dr. Carrie Mate. I am an internal medicine physician from the United States of America. I've owned my own clinic, and I've been medical director of two different clinics, as well as being an attending physician for medical students over the last 19 years. I'm here to tell you that there is no worldwide pandemic for COVID-19. We're using testing mechanisms called PCR that have never been indicated or created to diagnose any infection. This is not the way we should be diagnosing. In addition, hospitals and doctors are getting financial incentives to diagnose COVID-19. On top of that, we have multiple lab errors happening around the world over and over, indicating more false positives. On top of that, I am here to tell you that I will not take the COVID-19 vaccine, and I will not recommend the COVID-19 vaccine for any of my patients. This vaccine is experimental on the human race because they are proposing to use modified messenger RNA or modified DNA synthetic to the human body. This is the first time ever this will ever be launched on the human race. We don't know what could happen to us. In addition, they're proposing to use nanolipid technology or nanotechnology on the human race as well. There are so many different awful things that can happen to us, and we need to investigate this before we go forward. This is my alarm call to the world.
My name is Dr. Bear Lando, and I've treated many vaccine-damaged children due to the lack of proper testing and the spurious conditions surrounding the alleged pandemic. I would highly caution anyone considering taking the COVID-19 vaccine.
My name's Sandy Luna, retired pharmacist, and I live in Norway. The COVID-19 vaccines are not proven safe or effective. I'll focus on just two safety issues. The vaccines carry the risk of immune enhancement. Instead of protecting against infection, the vaccine can actually make the disease worse when a vaccinated person is infected with the virus. Secondly, in the UK, the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has made an urgent request. Quote, the MHRA urgently seeks an artificial intelligence software tool to process the expected high volume of COVID-19 vaccine adverse drug reactions.
The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective. This is not a real medical pandemic.
I want you to remember that each one of you, every single one of you, independently is a beacon of light for those around you. So set the example, stand up, continue to fight, continue to speak out, especially for your children. Let your children see what it means to be free. Allow your children to witness your heroism and that you are willing to stand up and do what's right, regardless of what's going on around you.
vaccination is penetration of the body, mind, and spirit by the state. The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective. This is not a real medical pandemic.
My name is Constantine Pavlidis, and I'm a professor of cognitive science, a biomedical researcher, and an integrative healthcare practitioner in London. I feel that the COVID-19 virus is not a real medical pandemic, and for this reason, the vaccine that is being produced is not proven safe or effective because there are four stages. The latent asymptomatic stage, the developmental stage where there is a manifestation of symptoms, the virus convinces the T cells that it's not an invader and then it hacks into the immune system. And finally, the fourth stage is the decline of the virus's presence where it is undetectable by any test and it's not present in the body liquids. The viral DNA becomes a part of the DNA's host immune cells. So for this reason, no COVID tests are truly accurate and no produced vaccine could be accurate as it tricks the immune system into reacting as if there is a real viral attack, where this triggers monocytes in the attempt to access the immune memory cells. These actions appear as viral symptoms, for example, chronic fatigue, muscular contractions, or mental health disorders ranging from depression to suicidal tendencies. And all of these are, in fact, side effects of the vaccine's influence.
That transduction irreversibly puts that virus, snip of virus, into your DNA and transforms your cells.
Hello, I'm Santa de Poet. I'm a freelance journalist, and I represent Children's Health Defense in Europe with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We want to alert you to the fact that the current COVID vaccines are an experimental product based on the injection of genetic material into our cells. And the risk of using these new technologies on humans and the environment are unknown. While they could have irreversible consequences. In April, the Pandemic Accelerator Act of the European Union allowed vaccine producers to have a free pass for safety. And on July 15, the European Parliament agreed to remove the need of risk evaluation requested under the GMO regulations. That decision was made in 10 days. There were no scientific reports, no hearings in Health Commission, no debate, and no amendments prior to this vote. So Children's Health Defense Europe has asked for the annulment of this decision in the European Court of Justice in Luxembourg. Please share this information, as it is extremely important to understand that the current COVID vaccines are not proven safe. Our legislators have abandoned the principle of precaution by putting blind faith in a dangerous experiment.
My name is Heiko Santelmann. I am a German medical doctor, now working in Norway. I have been working with a general practice for 40 years. Doing research for 20 years, the last 10 years, especially on vaccines. I have to shout out that this is not a real medical pandemic, and the COVID-19 vaccine is not proven to be safe or effective. I agree with the British Medical Journal that the testing is not done honestly. The claimed 90% effect is really only 0.2% if you study the results. I wonder, why did Gates and his conspiracy terrorists spend billions to develop vaccines that can sterilize men, women, and even their unborn children?
Uniform and forceful measures, medical measures, are unethical and cannot be implemented on a defenseless population, neither as tests nor as vaccines. Any medical intervention, testing, treatment or vaccine can only implement it in an ethical and legal way based on an individual medical consideration, well-informed patient consent, and clinical evidence of harmlessness beyond doubt. Thank you.
My name is Michael Nord.
About 50,000 MDs and scientists around the world who are challenging everything that you're now hearing by the Anthony Fauci crowd and Bill Gates group. We're going to conclude today with one of the most respected scientists, medical doctors in the world. His credentials would run at least 2 pages. For our sister station WBAI, you'll be cutting out at the end of this. And for everyone else, we'll have a few more things to say after that. Now to this clip of one of the doctors challenging the current vaccine program.
My name is Sucharit Bhakti. I am a physician with a lifelong experience in microbiology and infectious diseases, and I chaired the Institute of Medical Microbiology and Hygiene at the University of Mainz from 1990 until my retirement in 2012. I speak to you today on behalf of a group of medical doctors and scientists who pursue no political agenda and seek no personal gain. They are driven solely by their dedication to good medical practice, with its central credo, the duty to care for the health and well-being of fellow humans and to avoid doing harm based on insufficient knowledge. The corona crisis has now advanced to a stage that we fear for you, and in particular for our elderly citizens and our children. Our premonition relates to the gene-based vaccines that are in this very moment being plunged into the bodies of countless people who can have no inkling of the potential dangers they face. Hardly anyone realizes that myriad copies of a virus gene will pervade your body and enter cells that the virus normally would not reach. Few realize that this could spark auto-attack events because the immune system is misled into believing that the virus is there to be fought. Few know that such genetically designed vaccines have never been approved for use in humans. Few know that COVID vaccines have also only been given conditional approval for emergency use. In the next 2 years, it will be reviewed whether their benefits really outweigh their risks. Every person who gets vaccinated now is actually part of this huge experiment. Of course, without any liability, because with vaccination under emergency rules, the manufacturers make no guarantees whatsoever in case of serious reactions or even in case of death. They are free from any liability. We staunchly advocate the use of safe and efficacious vaccines in principle. We maintain that the safety and efficacy of the COVID vaccines have, however, not been proven. And we demand that these basic issues be reconsidered before the vaccination program is allowed to continue its course. Because we note that a wide range of adverse effects is being reported following vaccination of previously healthy younger individuals. Moreover, reports keep raining in from around the world that waves of deaths in care homes follow in the immediate wake of vaccination of the residents. While a certain number of adverse events must be expected simply due to coincidence, the abundance of such reports in this case is deeply worrying. We are concerned that there has been and is inadequate scrutiny
in another minute
possible causes of illness.
Bring it down
under these circumstances. In fact, anyone with a medical education who has also studied the composition and action mechanism of the vaccines must realize that there's every reason to expect grave side effects. Once the vaccines enter the bloodstream, which they will remain entrapped there and will enter the cells that line the blood vessels and induce these to produce the virus protein. Two dangerous things must then be expected to happen. Firstly, many copies of the virus spike will appear on the cell surface. These may directly bind and activate blood platelets, which will trigger blood clotting. Secondly, the cells producing the spike protein may be attacked by our own immune system because the immune system is trained to recognize and destroy cells that produce the virus. Damage to the blood vessel lining must be expected to cause the blood to clot as well. The effect is likely magnified in individuals receiving their second vaccinations, as well as in patients who have been infected with any coronavirus shortly before or after vaccination. This may well have contributed to the...
For those of you listening from our sister station, WBAI, we thank you for listening today. And just remember, whether you vaccinate or not, whether you believe any of what you're being told or not, examine it carefully. We do a lot of scholarship to make sure this information gets to you and it's not getting to you through the mainstream or alternative media at this time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on our next program.
From WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. Federal prosecutors submitted a filing this morning requesting a 60-day delay in a series of cases related to the January 6th Capitol riot, describing the massive undertaking as likely the most complex investigation ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice. The request for a delay comes one day after the swearing-in of Merrick Garland, who has pledged to make the Capitol riot investigation a top priority. More than 300 people have been charged with federal crimes, ranging from trespassing to assault in connection with the insurrection. The Justice Department expects to charge at least 100 more, according to today's filing. And it's being reported that the Justice Department and FBI are actively gathering evidence in an effort to build a huge conspiracy case against members of the Oath Keepers militia for their role in the attack. In related news, former Acting Secretary of Defense Chris Miller, who was in office on the day of the January 6th riot, said in an interview with Vice published Thursday that without former President Trump, it's pretty much definitive that the attack wouldn't have occurred. When asked if Trump is responsible, Miller pointed to the speech Trump delivered near the White House prior to the riot. Quote, "The question is, would anybody have marched on the Capitol and overrun the Capitol without the president's speech?" Unquote. "I think it's pretty much definitive that wouldn't have happened," Miller added. Jury selection continues today in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer charged in the killing of George Floyd. Derek Chauvin now faces an additional murder charge after a state judge reinstated a count of third-degree murder. To reach a conviction for third-degree murder, prosecutors have to prove Chauvin was acting with a depraved mind and with no regard for preserving human life. Chauvin is already facing charges of second-degree unintentional murder and second-degree manslaughter. He has pleaded not guilty to all three charges. Three other officers also face charges in connection with Floyd's death. President Biden delivered his first primetime speech to the nation last night, announcing several new initiatives to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. The president officially announced that he will be directing all states and territories to make all adults eligible for the vaccine no later than May 1st. He announced several new actions to speed up vaccinations, including deploying an additional 4,000 active duty troops to assist in the effort and allowing more people, such as medical students, veterinarians, and dentists, to deliver shots. Biden said there was a good chance that people will be able to safely gather together in small groups by July 4th. At the same time, he warned that conditions could grow worse because of new variants. "Americans need to stay vigilant," the president said, "or else restrictions may have to be imposed again." Biden condemned what he called vicious hate crimes committed against Asian Americans since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, calling such acts un-American and demanding they stop. A showdown in Texas over mask mandates is moving to the courtroom. After giving the city of Austin an ultimatum Wednesday to rescind its mask mandate or face legal pushback, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton moved forward on Thursday with filing a lawsuit against the city and its leaders. Austin Mayor Steve Adler is standing firmly behind his decision and issued a statement saying Austin will continue to